Sent Fagan case in Woman's Cries Building ransacked. The Atlanta Georgian, Monday, the 1st of September, 1913, page 1, column 7. A woman's screams reawakened memories of the Fagan case in the minds of pedestrians on Alabama Street shortly after noon Monday, and a crowd besieged the CAF run by G.E. Poulos and the adjacent building seeking to solve the mystery. They hunted high and low through the building at NUN 21 West Alabama, scouring the place from basement to roof. A crowd of 300 persons assembled, interfering with trade and jamming the street. It was finally discovered by some unmasked Sherlock Holmes that the screams came from a woman to a Negro dentist's office across the street. No policeman was in evidence all during the jam and the search. Page 1, Column 8. Open City Charter Election Issues. Result of 15 councilmanic elections will determine police policy if reform wins. The wiping out of Atlanta's police commission and a threatened war to oust Police Chief James L. Beavers have become the paramount issues in the elections to be held on a new charter and on 15 members of the General Council. Amid all the complexities of the fight over the new charter submitted to the people by the General Assembly, and the personifications in the various wards over seats in the council, the contest of the several factions for control of the police department stands out as the one issue which has aroused the Klans and will arouse them more. Developments Monday revealed the fact that the various leaders are planning their campaigns on this issue. It will be the first opportunity the voters have had to say whom they want to frame Atlanta's police policy. Issue never before people. With the council changing half of its personnel every year, the mayor with but little authority in the matter, and the members of the police commission elected for different terms, it has been impossible to get the issue directly before the peoples. But with the new charter election and the selection of 15 new councilmen coming within a week of each other, Atlanta's police policy, whether there shall be a tight town, as now, or more liberal rule, becomes the vital question. The new charter, if adopted, provides that the police commissions shall be abolished on January 1st. The formal wording of this document, submitted to a vote of the people on September 24th, obscures its meaning on this point. It is nonetheless true, according to no less an authority than City Attorney James L. Mason. Powers united in one board. In the place of the police commission, a board of public safety is created. It is to have charge of both the police and fire departments, and its members are to be elected by the new council the first of the year. The charter further provides that all officials, whether elected by council or a board, shall serve out their terms. Fire Chief W.B. Cummings, therefore, will serve out his term. But Chief Beavers is not elected for any term. He serves at the will of the police commission, except that he cannot be removed unless for cause. And the same civil service rules hold in the new charter with a board of public safety over him. Should the charter be adopted, the fight would be only one-third over, for the councilmanic election the next week, September 30th, would be just as important. And the final test would come still later, when the new council went to elect a board of public safety. All want new charter. It is an odd situation that practically all of the greatest council and police commission who are in personal harmony, if not in agreement, on the city's police policy, are for the new charter. It is their child, adopted by council and sent to the legislature to offset the movement for more drastic reforms. Despite the fact that the Beavers issue has become far more significant than was at first anticipated, the fathers of the charter, the Chambers faction, have been holding conferences to aid its passage. Carlos H. Mason, chairman of the Continued, on page 2, column 7. Page 2, column 7. Chief is an issue if charter is adopted. Continued from page 1. Police commission and the controlling spirit in the body is for it, though it hazards a continuation of his undisputed sway. Mayor James G. Woodward has been bitterly opposed to it, but the fact that its passage would give him and his supporters an opportunity to get control of the police department, a department in which they have been an insignificant minority, is said to be working a reversal of attitude. Aid's chance for passage. These two conditions, the fact that council wants the charter to pass to stave off radical charter reforms, and the fact that the Woodward element may support it in an effort to get control of the police department, greatly strengthen the chances of the charter to pass. A vigorous opposition to it by the Men and Religion Forward movement is expected. The present Board of Health, the Park Board, the Smoke Board, and the Cemetery Commission are abolished by the Charter and their authority transferred to new commissions. But little significance is attached to these changes. In the councilmanic races, the old crowd will endeavor to get men favorable to them elected. If the new charter passes, practically all of the present membership of the police commission will ask for re-election. It's a fight, more or less, of the outs against the ins. Real test in elections. After all, the real test will come in the election of the 5 aldermen and 10 councilmen, for should the charter pass, the new council will decide who shall compose the Board of Public Safety. The requirements for election to this board will be the attitude of the chief of police. The list of candidates so far is C.B. Alverton for 1st Ward Councilman, C.D. Knight, 2nd Ward Councilman, C.H. Kelly, 2nd Ward Alderman, James E. Warren and J.C. Harrison, 3rd Ward Alderman, Orville Hall, 3rd Ward Councilman, R.E. George and A.W. Farlinger, 4th Ward Councilman Albert Thompson, 4th Ward Alderman, Jesse B. Lee and Dr. W.M. Etheridge, 5th Ward Councilman, Jesse M. Wood, 6th Ward Councilman, Dan Walraven and Jesse Armistead, 7th Ward Alderman, Frank Reynolds, 8th Ward Councilman, John S. Owens and W.A. Hancock, 8th Ward Alderman, Charles W. Smith, 9th Ward Councilman, and Claude C. Mason, 10th Ward Councilman. Open City Charter Election Issue, page 2, column 8. Summers are arraigned by Hawthorne, declaring that the men behind the federal prison bars are so imperfectly trained as animal curiosities as to positively shrink when gazed upon as monstrosities. Julian Hawthorne, prison poet and philosopher, in Good Words, the official prison organ, satirically criticizes the so-called slummers who invade the secret cloisters of the unfortunate convicts. No doubt the science of penology advances by leaps and bounds as a result of such methods, the noted prisoner declares sarcastically, and the resemblance to the zoo is notable, but, he adds, there is one difference between the two in that some of the criminals have retained some of their unregenerate human sensibilities and can't stand public stares. The world, he says, having in its wisdom and profound understanding of the needs of human nature, created these populous hermitages where crime and vice may be miraculously extracted from the body corporate of the community. The world, having accomplished this signal act of sagacity and benevolence, is presently beset by the curiosity to see how the charm works. How visiting parties act. Even as slumming parties, he declares further, are organized in the cities to observe the peculiarities of crime in its making and effervescence, so does the solicitous citizen with family and friends betake himself cheerfully to the penitentiary to mark its aspect and conduct when under constraint.